Section 1. You are going to hear somebody giving their opinion about the media and its influence on society. For questions 1 to 10, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase.
There is no escaping the fact that the media has become one of the most powerful influences in our lives. TV, radio, and newspapers are the three main forms of media that we have daily contact with. Because of their importance, it is inevitable that controversy will often go hand in hand with such a powerful force. The media is not always used wisely or responsibly, and is often a source of gossip, scandal, or propaganda. Politicians use it in their political campaigns in order to gain support. Entertainers and celebrities use it to promote themselves and keep themselves in the public eye. This is, of course, to their advantage. But on the other hand, they are also open to the disadvantages of publicity. Private lives are brought out into the open, and the word private no longer suits the situation. Celebrities find themselves being followed and photographed at all times of day or night, and in the most personal situations. A survey has been carried out asking people what they thought of this invasion of privacy, and a massive 85% thought that celebrities were asking for it. 11% believed they were still entitled to their privacy, and 4% had no opinion either way. The survey also asked which form of media people felt they were most influenced by. Over two-thirds of the people asked said TV rather than radio or newspapers. This then leads us to the question of how reliable the information that we get from TV is. The belief that if we can see through images what is happening, we cannot be tricked or lied to, is a fallacy. Carefully chosen or edited images can deceive us more than words. It is in fact the images that are not shown which often speak the truth. Some channels have even been accused of showing scenes that were not actually from the place being reported about. This kind of false information turns fact into fiction. But how is the viewer meant to distinguish between the two? That is the problem. Radio and newspapers, on the other hand, rely on words to get their story across. And if they intentionally lie, they run the risk of being taken to court later. This, of course, happens regularly, particularly when a celebrity is involved. One rock singer was recently awarded £1 million when a tabloid paper said he was a homosexual. Sometimes the papers are lucky and get away with making a public apology and withdrawing what they had previously said about somebody. A distinction has to be made between newspapers, though, as they do tend to fall into two groups, the tabloids and the so-called quality newspapers. The question is, though, can we really trust anybody to tell us the facts objectively?
You will hear the piece again.
There is no escaping the fact that the media has become one of the most powerful influences in our lives. TV, radio, and newspapers are the three main forms of media that we have daily contact with. Because of their importance, it is inevitable that controversy will often go hand in hand with such a powerful force. The media is not always used wisely or responsibly, and is often a source of gossip, scandal, or propaganda. Politicians use it in their political campaigns in order to gain support. Entertainers and celebrities use it to promote themselves and keep themselves in the public eye. This is, of course, to their advantage. But on the other hand, they are also open to the disadvantages of publicity. Private lives are brought out into the open, and the word private no longer suits the situation. Celebrities find themselves being followed and photographed at all times of day or night, and in the most personal situations. A survey has been carried out asking people what they thought of this invasion of privacy, and a massive 85% thought that celebrities were asking for it. 11% believed they were still entitled to their privacy, and 4% had no opinion either way. The survey also asked which form of media people felt they were most influenced by. Over two-thirds of the people asked said TV rather than radio or newspapers. This then leads us to the question of how reliable the information that we get from TV is. The belief that if we can see through images what is happening, we cannot be tricked or lied to, is a fallacy. Carefully chosen or edited images can deceive us more than words. It is in fact the images that are not shown which often speak the truth. Some channels have even been accused of showing scenes that were not actually from the place being reported about. This kind of false information turns fact into fiction, but how is the viewer meant to distinguish between the two? That is the problem. Radio and newspapers, on the other hand, rely on words to get their story across, and if they intentionally lie, they run the risk of being taken to court later. This, of course, happens regularly, particularly when a celebrity is involved. One rock singer was recently awarded £1 million when a tabloid paper said he was a homosexual. Sometimes the papers are lucky and get away with making a public apology and withdrawing what they had previously said about somebody. A distinction has to be made between newspapers, though, as they do tend to fall into two groups, the tabloids and the so-called quality newspapers. The question is, though, can we really trust anybody to tell us the facts objectively?
That is the end of section one.
Section two. You will hear a student counsellor giving information and advice about further study. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 14. Listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 14.
Are you thinking about further study? Well, listen to this before you make a decision. It will help you decide if going on to tertiary study is right for you, and it will help you make good decisions for the right reasons. It includes information about student life, what it will cost, and the different ways you can support yourself. What should you think about first? Well, obviously, you're thinking about tertiary study, and it's one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life. What you decide now will affect the rest of your life. It's the last year of high school for most of you, and you're busy and under pressure. Perhaps you're thinking of going abroad, getting a job, or working for just a year or two to save some money before getting back to study. Let's assume you're choosing to continue studying next year. It's important that you set yourself goals and plan how you're going to achieve them. First off, career goals. What career do you want to pursue, or what is it your parents want you to do? Then you need to think about employment opportunities at the end of your study. Will your qualification assist you in finding a rewarding job? Thirdly, course selection. Exactly what qualifications will you need? For instance, a degree, a diploma, or something else? Now we're down to study goals. The number of papers you can study at a time, and what sort of grades you would like to attain.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 15 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 15 to 20.
Now, how do you make all that happen? You might feel overwhelmed by all the choices, but there are people and agencies to help. Career Services is a great website with lots of useful information and a search tool for finding courses and providers throughout the country. Then there are the tertiary education institutions themselves. Universities and institutes of technology, for example, have comprehensive information on their particular websites. You can find out most anything there. Many campuses have a student support association, and they can tell you a lot about what to expect. Don't be afraid to ask them anything. I'm sure they've heard it all before. It might also be worthwhile to make inquiries with potential employers to see if they will fund or partially fund your studies. If it is a trade you want to learn, the apprenticeship scheme will help you earn while you learn. That way you'll get valuable work experience while you're studying. If you're still at school, then search out your school careers advisor, who will have a variety of information and resources at hand and be able to give you the kind of guidance you need to make a fully informed decision. And last but not least, don't forget your parents and other family members. They can be of enormous help too. Oh, one last thing that might help you make up your mind. Have you thought of applying for a scholarship? Some embassies, governments, and individual institutions offer scholarships to cover part or all of your study fees. Most large libraries have a comprehensive catalogue of the various grants, awards, and scholarships that are available.
Now listen again.
Listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 14.
Are you thinking about further study? Well, listen to this before you make a decision. It will help you decide if going on to tertiary study is right for you, and it will help you make good decisions for the right reasons. It includes information about student life, what it will cost, and the different ways you can support yourself. What should you think about first? Well, obviously, you're thinking about tertiary study, and it's one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life. What you decide now will affect the rest of your life. It's the last year of high school for most of you, and you're busy and under pressure. Perhaps you're thinking of going abroad, getting a job, or working for just a year or two to save some money before getting back to study. Let's assume you're choosing to continue studying next year. It's important that you set yourself goals and plan how you're going to achieve them. First off, career goals. What career do you want to pursue, or what is it your parents want you to do? Then you need to think about employment opportunities at the end of your study. Will your qualification assist you in finding a rewarding job? Thirdly, course selection. Exactly what qualifications will you need? For instance, a degree, a diploma, or something else? Now we're down to study goals. The number of papers you can study at a time, and what sort of grades you would like to attain.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 15 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 15 to 20.
Now, how do you make all that happen? You might feel overwhelmed by all the choices, but there are people and agencies to help. Career Services is a great website with lots of useful information and a search tool for finding courses and providers throughout the country. Then there are the tertiary education institutions themselves. Universities and institutes of technology, for example, have comprehensive information on their particular websites. You can find out most anything there. Many campuses have a student support association, and they can tell you a lot about what to expect. Don't be afraid to ask them anything. I'm sure they've heard it all before. It might also be worthwhile to make inquiries with potential employers to see if they will fund or partially fund your studies. If it is a trade you want to learn, the apprenticeship scheme will help you earn while you learn. That way you'll get valuable work experience while you're studying. If you're still at school, then search out your school careers advisor, who will have a variety of information and resources at hand and be able to give you the kind of guidance you need to make a fully informed decision. And last but not least, don't forget your parents and other family members. They can be of enormous help too. Oh, one last thing that might help you make up your mind. Have you thought of applying for a scholarship? Some embassies, governments, and individual institutions offer scholarships to cover part or all of your study fees. Most large libraries have a comprehensive catalogue of the various grants, awards, and scholarships that are available.
That is the end of Section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers.